So this morning, I'm just going to be looking at a number of things. We'll be looking at the Word of God this morning. Now, we just completed our series on the true perspective last Sunday, and that's where we're looking at different areas of our Christian walk. But today, we're going to start a new series for the next 6 or so weeks, and we'll be looking at the Holy Spirit. Now, this is quite a series that's dear to my heart as well. Well, all the series that we've been doing have been dear to my heart, but this is particularly very important because I believe that for us as Christians, one person that we need to really understand is the Holy Spirit. And the reason why I'm saying that is I remember that before I became born again, before I became a Christian a long time ago, then I had friends who were Christians. Some of my sisters were Christians as well. And they were Pentecostals then. You know, like, that's what we referred to them as. And I wasn't. But what I found quite strange then was the fact that, you know, these guys were speaking in tongues. They were saying all these things that I thought at that time was quite strange. And because of that, I just said, you know what, guys? We're friends, but, you know, I don't just, you know, just stay, you know, let's just keep at arm's length. And that's because I didn't really understand the Holy Spirit then. But it totally changed for me when I became a Christian and, you know, I was now taught about the Holy Spirit. Now, the other thing I was going to mention as well is that even for those of us that are Christians and that we've heard about the Holy Spirit, what I want to do is to expand our understanding of who the Holy Spirit is, what the Holy Spirit does in our life, and what He does in our lives. And I think particularly for Christians, sometimes, not all the time, when we mention the Holy Spirit, what comes to our minds sometimes is just people gathered in a church setting like this and, you know, praying and, you know, God is working amongst us and doing, you know, healing people and all that, which is fantastic. But really, that is not just what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit, Jesus tells us, as we will see along the way, helps us in our everyday Christian life. So He does things that are very spectacular, if I can use that word. However, He does things that you and I might not notice on a daily basis in our individual lives. So over the next 6 weeks, we'll look at a number of things about the Holy Spirit. And I'll just mention some of the things that we'll be looking at. So today we'll just have like a brief introduction, and I'll talk about the life of Peter. We'll look at next week, who is the Holy Spirit. We'll look at the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What does it mean? We'll look at the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, and we'll look at the gifts and the manifestations of the Spirit. And I pray that by God's grace, when we finish, we'll have a better understanding of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will be, we'll be able to cooperate with the Holy Spirit as well. And it will not just be something that is far off or that's left for the pastors or for the prophets or the evangelists. The Holy Spirit is available to each and every believer. So today I'm just going to do an introduction, and I want us to look at a man in the Bible called Peter, very famous. Everybody knows the famous Apostle Peter. Now, I'm going to look at three things in his life, if time permits. I'm going to look at the life of Peter before he encountered the Holy Spirit. And we'll look at the life of Peter after he encountered the Holy Spirit. Now, if we turn to the book of Acts, I'm just going to give us a brief in the middle part now. And if we look at, Luke chapter 22, verses 31 to 34. Luke chapter 22, verse 31 and 34. We'll look at it on the screen here. Otherwise, I will just open my Bible to it. I think it should be there somewhere. Okay, I'll just turn to it. All right, so I'm just going to start in the middle here. Like I said, we'll look at the life of Peter before he encountered the Holy Spirit and after he encountered the Holy Spirit. Now, but I'm going to start here. Where I'm going to start is where Jesus told Peter before he was crucified in Luke chapter 22, verse 31 to 34, he said, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. But he replied, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will have denied me three times. This is quite a popular story that we, you know, might have heard of at one point or the other, of how Jesus told Peter, this is going to happen to me. And Peter was so energetic. He was one of the most energetic disciples at that time. And he said, never, I will never deny you. I mean, it's just like, for example, as you're sat here and I just tell you that you're here and I say, okay, it's possible that before we end this service, we might have some people masked and gun, you know, carrying guns that might come here to arrest me because I'm preaching the gospel. You know, you guys just, you know, stay calm. Some of you might say, you know what, Pastor? I'm with you, Pastor. Anything that happens, you understand what I mean? So you might be like that. That's exactly what Peter was saying here. He couldn't imagine that what? Jesus, me abandon Jesus. Jesus that I've been with 3 years that's impossible. And the thing is that he was really sincere about this. He was totally committed to Christ. But let's fast forward the story a bit and look at the book of Luke chapter 22, verse 54 to 62. Luke chapter 22, verse 54 to 62. So, 54 to 62, it said, so then seizing him, they now arrested Jesus in the garden. They led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. But when they had kindled the fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down with them. Let's go on. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, this man was with him. But he denied it. Woman, I don't know him, he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, you are also one of them. One of them. Next verse. Says, I am not, Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, certainly this fellow was with him, for he's a Galilean. Peter replied, man, I don't know what you're talking about. Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. So picture this scenario. When I was reading this passage of scripture, I just imagined myself there. Jesus had told Peter, you know, you need to be quite careful. Peter said, no, I'm going to be with you. And he said, okay, you know what? You will deny me three times before the cock crows. Peter couldn't imagine that. Then they arrest Jesus. All the disciples run away. But Jesus and Peter didn't run away completely. Peter was just following from afar off. And someone came to him. Some little girls, not even a soldier, not someone with a gun, not someone with a spear, not someone threatening him, just a casual person. He said, hang on, I know you. You speak like one of those guys that go to that church in the Holiday Inn. I've seen you there. And you say, no, 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 Pastor Benson. Who's Pastor Benson? I don't know him. I don't know him. Who is that? You know? But you know what happened? He denied Jesus three times. And the Bible tells us something. Now, imagine this. Jesus had been dragged, spattered, bit. He was tired. They had tortured him, all sorts of things. And he was sitting down there. And immediately, Peter denied him. The Bible tells us something happened. Jesus, in the midst of all the people that were harassing him, turned and his eyes caught the eyes of Peter. I don't know how Peter must have felt. I imagined it and I said, my goodness, how would Peter have felt? Do you get what I mean? And the Bible tells us that he went out and he wept. He just thought, you know what? It's It's all over. Let's just forget about it. Do you understand? Now, how does that relate to us sometimes? You know, there are times that we, as Christians, we hear a message and we're like, yes, I'm going to change. I'm going to do this for Christ. And you're really geared up. Do you understand? And when the time comes to do what you've said you've promised to do in your own heart, you just don't have the strength to do it. Then you try today, you try tomorrow. At a point, you might get to the point where you just say to yourself, you know what, this Christian walk is just, man, it's just too cumbersome. It's just too, you know, Lord, I really want to try. And you just subconsciously in your mind just say, you know what, I'll let that pastor guy just carry on in front. I'll still attend church, but I'll be a backbencher. Sorry, not that, because you're sitting at the back, you're a backbencher. I'm talking about in your heart. But you're not really discussing it. But you know that deep down in your heart, you have put it to neutral. Why? Because you're so disappointed in all the things you said you would do. You're so disappointed in the fact that it appears that every time you make up your mind to really, you know, go 100% with God, you're not able to. That's what happened to Peter as well. He honestly wanted to follow Christ. But when the rubber hit the road, as you know, is that term we use, he couldn't do it. He couldn't. Now, let's fast forward. Let's fast forward a bit. And let's go to the book of Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. So we're fast forwarding in the life of Peter here. Are we there? Acts chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. All right, I'll read it from my Bible while it's being displayed on screen. So fast forward down the line, and this is the life of Peter, and this is what I call Peter afterwards. Starting from verse 1, it says, the priest and the captains of the temple guard, start from verse 1, but I'll just read it here anyway. It says, the priest and the captains of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. While they were speaking, which verse is this? Okay, let me just read. And they spoke. Okay, so this is King James. Don't worry, we'll do King James today. That's fine. And as they spoke unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They laid hands upon them and they put them in the hold up to the next day. Let's go to the next verses as well. If you go to do verse 4 to 6, it says, okay, you know what, let me just take it from here. Go to verse 18 to 21. Acts chapter 4, verse 18 to 21. Don't worry. Acts chapter 4, verse 18 to 21. Okay. So, they saw them preaching, they got them, and they said, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken to you more than unto God, judge you. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all the men glorified God for what had been done. So fast forward a short while later, the same people that, you know, crucified Christ, they got Peter and John, they were preaching. And they said, don't preach again. If we catch you preaching in Cabot Circus, we're going to make sure you are dealt with seriously. And what did this Peter respond with? He stood in front of them and said, you judge if it is right for us not to speak or not. So in short, they were saying, we will speak irrespective of what you threaten or not. Hang on. Isn't this the same Peter that a couple of little girls came and he swore that I don't know this Jesus Christ at all? So what happened between that Peter and this Peter? What happened? Can we say, well, he knew more about Christ now and all that? No. I want to show us something about this Peter man. This is Peter before he encountered the Holy Spirit. So we might say maybe he read the Bible more, maybe he had no, all these things. Let's look at the life of Peter before the denial. And after that, I'll make a point. Do you know the first thing we know about Peter, this is before he denied Christ, was that he actually loved Christ. If we look at John chapter 21, verse 15. So I want to show us Peter before the denial to show us that he was a fully committed disciple of Christ before he denied Christ. It wasn't his commitment to Christ that changed him. So he said here, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said. You know I love you. Jesus said, feed my lamb. So the first thing we note about Peter before he denied Christ was that he actually loved Christ. Do you understand? He actually loved Christ. Let's look at something else about him. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 to 20. Before he denied Christ, we also see that he was actually really committed to Christ as well. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 to 20. Okay, that's fine. Oh, so that's Acts. Okay, we can just write that down anyway.
Have you got it?
Anyway, Peter was actually committed to Christ as well. He was ready to even die for him. Do you understand? So he loved Christ, number one. He was committed to Christ. The other thing as well, which we see, is that he was willing to pay the penalty of death. And if you look at Matthew, we don't have a turn there. Matthew chapter 26, 35. Peter was really, really committed to Christ. He was ready to die for Christ. This was before the denial of Christ. The fourth thing as well is that this one is really interesting. Peter was ready to even kill anybody that came near Christ. Let's look at Matthew chapter 16, verse 16. This is quite an interesting one. Are we there? Okay, so what I meant to say with that one is that he had a revelation of Christ, Peter did, in Matthew chapter 16, verse 16. So in this Matthew chapter 16, verse 16, this is the third thing. Jesus was asking his disciples, who do people say that I am? And this was, note that this is before he denied Christ. He, amongst all the disciples, had the revelation that you are the Christ. So we're not talking about someone who didn't really know Christ at all. All right. So just pointing out his values as well. The other thing as well, we don't have to turn there, in John chapter 18, verse 10 to 11, when they came to arrest Christ, the Bible tells us that Peter pulled out his sword and cut off the ear of a, that's not advisable actually. But what am I saying here? This Peter man was, he was a proper disciple. Two more things about Peter that we can just note. It's the fact that even while he was in Christ, in the book of Mark chapter 9 verse 2, he had some spiritual experiences with Christ. The Bible tells us in Mark chapter 9 verse 2 that he saw Jesus transfigured. Do you understand? So this was a man that he had seen quite a lot of things in the presence of Christ before the denial. Now, the last thing as well. Okay, so I'll just stop with those six. So the reason I'm saying this is this. It wasn't the knowledge of Christ that Peter had primarily. It wasn't that anything per se had changed in his commitment to Christ before he denied Christ. So the big question I'm asking us, which I'll point out now, is what happened How come this same Peter, who was so committed to Christ, in one part of the scripture, so committed, but he denied Christ, then fast forward, this same person, this same guy, was now saying, you know what? There's no threat that you can, you know, point towards me that's going to make me not to preach the gospel. What happened? Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. I think it's there already, but I'll just read it from here. We can turn there. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Jesus gave them a point here. There was something that Jesus told them after he resurrected, which made the difference between Peter before and Peter after. And it's here. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Jesus told them something. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That is the link. That is the link. Jesus told them something. He said, you know what? You guys are really enthusiastic. You guys are heaven bound. You guys love God. You guys are ready to go. However, there's something that you need to give you the ability to represent me without fear. There's something you need that is supernatural in this Christian walk. And he said it. He said, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will receive power. So, what am I saying here? I am saying here, just introducing this topic, that the Holy Spirit for the Christian will help you and I, bring us to the point where we can be effective in our Christian walk. Now, someone might say, as a Christian, don't I have the Holy Spirit? Yes, you do. Everybody that is born again, whether you speak in tongues or not, once you are born again, you have the Holy Spirit in you. Do you understand? So let's clarify that. You know, anybody that is born again has the Holy Spirit in them. However, there's another level of the Holy Spirit, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus was talking about here. Now let's look at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 5. So he said here, now I'll just quote it. I'll describe it. So from Acts chapter 2, if you look at verse 1 round to about verse 5, verse 6, something happened. The Bible tells us that they were waiting for the Holy Spirit to come, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. And the Bible tells us that their lives changed. The Bible says they began to, you know, pray and speak in other tongues and all that. So what am I saying here? I'm saying here, the difference between Peter then and Peter after was that. So the point I'm making is this. In this next 6 weeks that we're taking this journey from today, I want us to have the mind that there is another level that we can go to. If you have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, that's fine. You will still go to heaven. We will meet in heaven together. However, there is something that you can achieve. There is something that can happen in your life by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it's nothing weird like I used to think before. No, it's Christ through the Holy Spirit helping you in your life and in your Christian walk. And I believe that as we, you know, grasp this truth, I'm telling you, even though everything around us might be challenging, but your walk with God will be transformed. Do you understand? We'll look at how the Holy Spirit helps us. The Holy Spirit teaches us the Bible. The Holy Spirit tells us about things to come. Even to the point that if you're stuck at work or in school, the Holy Spirit can help you. I think I've mentioned a while ago, there are times that I'm at work in the past, and the kind of work I do is quite hectic. You either know it or you don't. If you say you don't, you can't solve the problem, they'll overlook, you know, they'll just wink for the first time. You go the next day and say, oh, still you haven't been able to solve the problem, then they'll just ask, really? You do that the third time, you get your sack letter. So you have to deliver. And I've been in situations where at work, I'm like, you know what? I'm stuck. No idea. My team members are coming to me and saying, how do we fix this matter? And I've done everything I can. Nothing has happened. I just say, no problem. And I'll go to the toilet. I now kneel down. And I say, well, Father, you said the Holy Spirit will teach us things. What is happening here? And more often than not, I will get the answer. Then I'll bounce back to my desk and just say, by the way, gentlemen. How are you laughing? By the way, gentlemen, this is the thing. Do you understand? There are times that the Holy Spirit will tell you things to come. Do you get what I mean? You're in your house sometimes. So you tell you, okay, there's someone that's coming to the service. They will have, maybe they have, their tooth is aching them, for example. And you can pray for them. So what I'm saying is this. Every one of us, you can read the Bible, right? And the Holy Spirit will explain things to you. And it will seem as if, hang on. What happened there? Do you understand? That is where our Christian walk becomes exciting, I tell you. Really exciting. So I'm going to stop there today. So what I'm just doing today is just setting the ground for what we'll be looking at. And I want us to have an open heart in the next few weeks. Everything I teach, as you guys know, is in the Bible. So I'm not going to teach anything that is extra biblical. We will look at the Bible together, verse by verse, portion by portion, and we will see the work of the Holy Spirit. So that 6 weeks from now, or even before the 6 weeks run out, you guys will be beaming with the fire of the Holy Spirit. You guys will be beaming with the love of the Holy Spirit. And they'll be like, what happened? And you'll just be bouncing. Well, you don't have to. Why? Well, you'll just be bouncing that something happened to me. They'll say, what happened to you? You say, I just realized that all this while the Holy Spirit has just been right by my side. Well, I didn't know it, but now I know it. Do me a favor this morning. I'm going to behave like an American preacher. Look at the person next to you and say, your life is going to change.
Your life is going to change.
Amen. Amen. Let's all rise up and just pray this morning.